Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the H2 and FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Premier Roadlines Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akhilesh Gandhi from Stellar IR. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Akhilesh.
Thank you, Sejal. Good evening, everyone. I, Akhilesh Gandhi, on behalf of Stellar Investor Relations, welcome you all to Premier Roadlines H2 and FY25 earnings conference call. We shall be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the second half and full year ended March 31, 2025. We have with us today the management of Premier Roadlines Limited, Mr. Virendra G. Gupta, he is the Chairman and Managing Director, and with him we have Sameen Gupta, who is the Whole-Time Director and Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to state that this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon the company's beliefs, opinion, and expectation as of today. The statements made in today's call are not a guarantee of future performance and also involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statements to reflect developments that occur after the statement is made. Documents relating to the company's financial performance, including investor presentation, have already been uploaded on the stock exchange and company website. I now invite Mr. Virendra G. Gupta to state his opening remarks on the company's performance for the second half and the full year ended on March 31, 2025. Post that, we will open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on today's earnings call. I am Virendra Gupta. On behalf of the entire Premier Roadlines team, I'd like to extend a warm welcome to all of you. We hope you have had a chance to review our investor presentation uploaded on the stock exchanges. Today, we will walk through the key financial and operational highlights for the six-month period and full year ahead, March 31, 2025. FY25, particularly the second half, was a strong period for us, marked by solid execution, strategic progress. We saw increased demand in project logistics, ODC services, driven by the rollout of several large infrastructure projects across the country. These segments are high margin and complex, aligning perfectly with our operational strengths. A standout achievement during the period was a successful contract to transport India's largest tunnel boring machine. This large-scale complex project was a clear demonstration of our technical capabilities and project management expertise. We support our growing operations. We expand our own fleet by adding specialized pullers, 56 axles, taking our total to 7 pullers and 74 axles. This expansion, funded through a prudent mix of internal accruals and bank finance, reflects our continued commitment to an asset-light strategy where we invest only after rigorous ROI assessment and long-term value analysis. Another important strategic milestone this year was acquisition of PRL Supply Chain Solutions as a wholly owned subsidiary. This move marks our evolution into a full-stack logistics provider, with capabilities spanning ocean freight, air freight, project logistics, warehousing, and distribution. It positions us to offer end-to-end domestic international logistics solutions under one roof. Looking ahead to FY26, we expect continued momentum in project logistics, ODC, supported by an uptake in infrastructure in activity, favorable macroeconomic conditions, and rising capital expenditure across key sectors. With that, I will now hand it over to Sameen Gupta, who will walk you through our detailed financial and operational performance. Thank you and good evening, everyone.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. This is Sameen Gupta. So let me take you through the financial and operational performance for the second half and the full year of financial year 2025. So I'll start with the H2 FY2025. Our total income stood at 175.6 crores, which was up 33% year-on-year, and EBITDA came in at 15.8 crores, showing 22% increase with an EBITDA margin of 9%. profit after tax stood at 9.3 crores, up 16% year-on-year, and our PAT margin was at the same time 5.3%. For the full year 2025, the total income stood at 288.5 crores, marking a 26.2% growth compared to last year. In terms of segment mix, contracted logistics contributed 39%, ODC 30%, project logistics 16%, general logistics 15%. Overall, dominance by contracted and general logistics. So EBITDA for the full year was 24.3 crores, which is up 15% with an EBITDA margin of 8.4%. The PAT stood at 15.7 crores, up by 24% year-on-year and with a PAT margin of 5.4%. The improved profitability was mainly driven by a higher share of project and ODC, which are more margin accretive. As mentioned earlier, the first half of the year impacted by monsoons, delayed project approvals, election-related uncertainty. However, we saw a good, strong recovery in H2, which helped us close the year on a high note. On the balance sheet front, we continue to remain in a strong position. The ROE stood at 17.7% and ROCE at return on capital employed at 22.6%. Our debt-to-equity ratio improved to 0.44, which reflected prudent capital management. Operationally, we had handled 35,739 orders and served 695 customers. An average revenue per order stood at 81,279. We've made a conscious shift this year to focus on long-term, very high-quality clients. While the total number of clients has come down, our order volume has gone up, showing deeper engagement and higher repeat business. So looking ahead at financial year 2026, so we expect a very strong momentum to continue in project logistics and ODC, supported by increased infrastructure activities, a favorable macro outlook, and rising capex across key industries. So we're especially seeing promising opportunities in sectors like defense, transformers, hydro projects, and oil and gas, all of which require sophisticated logistics solutions and more project and over-dimensional cargo movements on a pan-India basis. So in defense, the government's drive for modernization and self-reliance is translating into large-scale projects and movement of sensitive and oversized cargo. So this is an area where we are comfortable in, and given our experience and capability to handle such high security movements, we think we're poised to grow. The transformer and power equipment segment is also gaining a lot of traction in India. India's grid upgrades and renewable energy push are driving demand for large transformer movements across the country, for which heavy equipment needs to be transported on specialized vehicles, which again plays to our strength in heavy haulage. Hydropower projects. So these are on the rise of India's clean energy push. These projects involve transporting bulky and high diameter equipment through difficult terrains. And we are one of the very few logistics providers equipped to such complex logistics solutions on a pan-India basis, be it the toughest city terrain in the north or the northeast. In the oil and gas, there are many refinery projects which are coming up in capacity. Pipelines and storage are creating steady demand of ODC and project logistics, where reliable execution is the key to success. Each of these sectors that I mentioned are not just an opportunity, but a natural extension of the work we already do. We are very much confident that these industries grow, we will continue to be a trusted partner in the logistics journey for these sectors, as we are well-registered and a part of all these key manufacturers and players in each of these sectors. So now as we step into financial year 2026, we remain focused on three things: operational excellence, disciplined capital deployment, and deepening customer relationships in key sectors and key areas. So our strategy remains very clear. We'll continue to strengthen our asset-light model, expand into logistics-heavy industries, and build on a reputation for execution. So with that, we can now open the question, the floor for questions, and we can start the discussions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Agastya Dave from CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, hi Agastya, you're audible.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
So the numbers look fairly decent. There is clearly a pickup in revenues and improvement in margins. You almost met your target of 30%, but there were slight misses on the margin level, and the receivables have also increased as a percentage of revenue. So can you provide some commentary on all these three factors, and how do you see these variables panning out for next?
First of all, the results that we posted and the numbers that we got were extremely, I would say, outstanding as per our. The results that we've posted and the numbers we've got is actually outstanding as per the current situation in the market. We saw a very weak H1 as an overall economy, and same time, H2 was also not something that was completely exciting for everyone. So even in this tough market conditions, we could do such high numbers and such growth. We are very much positive about it, and we think that, you know, it's a good set of results that we've posted. About the second question that you had about receivables. Receivables, yes, they've spiked up to 114 crores. So it's because of increase in turnover. So once you're increasing turnover, of course, you're doing credit sales to customers, and all these are high-quality clients and high-quality customers where you require to give cashier credit sales. So the receivables will definitely go up, but the quality of clients is something that you should keep in mind. Like you can see in the operations metric, we have reduced the number of clients that we work for. So that goes to say that we are very choosy and very, you know, choosing the clients very, very carefully. So the payment and the money is always safe. It is just that, you know, when you expand, the receivables will increase. And talking about the third question that you asked was talking about the margins. So if you see the total number of revenue mix, this year we were heavy of general and contracted logistics, which was 54%, because there were no projects or no ODC movements happening on an entire year basis. The entire year did not see any new project coming. There was no new oil and gas refinery. There was no new hydro projects coming in. There was no new major expansions of any refineries. So if that is not there, then of course project and ODC will take a back seat. But going forward, we see a very huge demand in these few sectors. So we are very much positive about it.
Great. So next year, your target for 30% growth remains. That was
absolutely
your target, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
One more thing that I noticed, I don't have the annual report and the schedules in front of me, so I could be slightly off here. But it seems that you have capitalized a bit more than what you were initially, at least what I understood. My guess is that you did a CapEx of around 17 crores this year. So was it more than what you had initially budgeted? Are there opportunities emerging where you need to deploy more capital upfront?
Yes.
What
so
is
like
the CapEx for next year?
See, we are doing capital expenditure on need basis where there is a requirement of specialized assets. So we see a lot of refineries projects and hydro projects and heavy HVDC transformer movements happening very soon on the road. So we would require some specialized assets to be eligible for those projects. So we will definitely, that's the reason why we had added these specialized TII axles and Volvo pullers. And going forward as well, in this first half, we plan to, I would say, invest close to 7 crores in capital expenditure, which will have gold hopper axles. So these are German axles, gold hopper. They are the world's best hydraulic axles available. So they can move cargo up to 1,000 metric ton. So when I'm talking about 1,000 metric ton, that is a territory and range where we have not even touched right now. So we are planning to move over there, and we are planning to bid for projects of that scale. So we are very much positive about it, and because there's an eligibility criteria that these big companies have for these particular projects, we will be compelled to buy these assets on our books and win those projects in the future.
Understood. So one last question. On the margin side, now that projects are back and you are seeing, you are getting visibility on even better quality orders, do you expect the margins to now go to the like early double digit trend? Can we cross 10% in the coming year?
See, we can easily cross 10% if the revenue mix of ODC and projects is more.
Understood.
Is the mix is favorable. And if it is what we have seen in the past and what we are gradually getting a taste of, when we are using our own equipment, the gross margins are even higher than, I would say, 40-50%. So if that continues And if these projects come through and if, you know, there's a higher mix of project cargo and ODC going forward, which we very much see because of the recent developments everywhere, that there will be more transformers movements and defense movements and hydro projects movements, and as well as oil and gas refineries, which have already gained approvals and the execution might start very, very soon. So we are very much positive about it.
Understood. Thank you very much. And sir, I also appreciate that you started giving some quarterly updates.
Yes.
That was something that I had requested the last time we interacted, and thank you for following up on that. So I really appreciate it. And all the best for the coming year, sir.
Thank you, Garcia. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, hi. Yeah,
hi. Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity and many congratulations for a good set of numbers. So just wanted to understand in terms of mix. I mean, 46% was your revenue mix for ODC and project logistics together. And now given the commentary that we do see a good pipeline in this and expect momentum in project logistics and ODC, how do you see this mix changing in FY26? I mean, what sort of mix we might be targeting?
We are targeting approximately 75% project in ODC and 35% contracts. So we already have good number of contracts for this financial year, which we are under signing and which we have already signed. So we want to keep that in place because, you know, contracts are something which is always, you know, it's there every year. It is not something which is dependent on capital expenditure and macroeconomics. So that is the ideal mix we are focusing on for this financial year.
Okay, so that ideally means that that's a drastic shift, right? I mean, as compared to 46%, we are targeting 75% in project logistics and ODC. So ideally, that means we are very positive or optimistic on this crossing the 10% kind of EBITDA margin that you were saying, because on this project logistics and ODC revenue mix increasing.
Absolutely. So the thing is that we see a lot of transformer manufacturers bumping up their manufacturing, and transformers are selling like left, right and center everywhere. And, you know, to move these 500 MVA and even anything above, I think 300 MVA or 200 MVA, I'm not too sure about the KV class, but anything above, say, 60 tons has to be moved on a hydraulic axle trailer. So that comes under project logistics and overdimensional cargo. So we are working with each and every reputed transformer manufacturer you can recall and think of. We are associated with them. And by this end of year, we believe that we will be India's probably leading and trusted logistics service provider for transformer movements. So with the tailwinds, with the transformer sector, I think we can easily achieve 75% of our total, I would say, revenue mix in ODC and project logistics. And at the same time, oil and gas refineries coming through. These are big mammoth vessels which need to be moved from one place to the other. Things are very much positive. They're looking very much positive going forward if things start flowing as and when what we see right now.
So, sir, among the four sectors you have highlighted, transformer and oil and gas sector would be most optimistic, which can drive your project and ODC revenue, right?
Transformer, defense, I'll just give them in a sequence as of today, as of May 2025, what we see. So number one, where we are very much optimistic is, number one is transformers, number two is defense, number three, I would say hydro projects, and number four, oil and gas. Because oil and gas, you know, the big vessels start moving in the last. Sabse pehle, the first, what happens is the general cargo starts moving, the contracts start making, chote-chote piece jaate hain sabse pehle. Then the last may, you know, the biggest pieces start to go in the refinery projects. So in sequence, I what we can see and what we can project, this is what we are most optimistic about in going forward.
That's very clear. That's very clear and helpful. Just one last thing, I mean, in terms of seasonality, I mean, how much percentage of your revenue see in first half versus second half? I mean, is it 40-60 kind, and how should one look at that?
35-75 is what you can see, but I mean, we will not comment on how it would look like this year, because things are very much dynamic. There's a lot of backlog from last year that things are things are moving right now. So we cannot comment on how the split would look like in terms of percentage. So But yes, of course, H2 is more dominant.
Always more dominant. But generally, is it what, 25-75 is a general trend? I mean,
yeah, 70. In the past, we've seen 60-40, 75-35. This is what we've seen on a year-on-year basis. But it keeps on changing each year. I mean, this year we expect that difference hoga. I mean, there will be difference, but we cannot comment. I mean, we're not sure, honestly.
Understood. That's very helpful, sir. I mean, all the very best to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh from Finovate Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on great set of numbers. That's really impressive. So, if you see the first half of the year, the results were basically affected because of the rain. So I just wanted to know, how are we planning to manage or reduce the impact of such seasonal disruptions on business margins going forward?
See, you have general logistics and contracted logistics for that purpose only. So contracts, where it is just, you know, moving of general movement, I mean, normal trucks that you see, they keep on moving regardless of rains. Yes, definitely the amount of volumes of those transactions are less even in the first half, but they keep on moving. The big consignments do not move in the first half, but the small consignments keep on moving. So that's how we mitigate this risk. But this year, we personally believe that because of backlog of the last financial year that India saw, the slowdown that India saw, we think that you never know how the first half would look like. Because transformer movements are still happening right now. The rains have started to kick in some parts of the country, but transformer movements are still happening in full swing. So we cannot comment on how H1 would look like, but on a full year basis, I gave you guidances of how these 4-5 sectors are looking very much promising.
So another guidance which I would like from you is, so like if you see the targets, targets are quite ambitious. So 500 crores and eventually we want to reach 100,000 crores. So can you just share the strategy or the roadmap which the company wants to do? And is the case of the company in terms of capacity, order pipeline, like will we be able to achieve this these targets?
See, we are in a very dynamic and a very fast-moving industry. You know, last year, after our listing, after our first con call, whatever we said, it is completely, you know, once we are into this year, once we have already crossed a year, our perspectives have changed and everything has changed. The things keep on changing, the goals keep on changing each quarter or every 2 months. So going forward, 500 crores, 1,000 crores definitely is the target. But as of now, what we are concentrating on is how we can capitalize the maximum for these 4-5 sectors which are growing rapidly. Talking about oil and gas, there are opportunities of barging, there are opportunities of roll-on and roll-off movements, and you know, special sort of arrangements and bypasses for moving a single cargo, which usually takes close to 6-7 months to deliver. So you can imagine the sort of complications and compliances that it may require to move that piece of cargo. So that is the sort of, you know, focus and vision that we are having for the next financial year, or say second half of this financial year. So we are just going with the flow in terms of concentrating on the hot sectors and how we can have the major chunk of the logistics spend in these sectors. So that is what we have, you know, kept as a strategy. And once we are, you know, just focusing on whatever work we are having, I think the numbers will follow.
Understood. Got it. So thank you so much and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I would like to remind the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Natasha Singh from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir. Congratulations for great numbers. So my first question is, as of in FY25, saw a sharp decline in operating cash flow despite a strong PAT growth. So can you please elaborate the key reasons behind that and how you're managing the working capital cycle, and especially into the project-based logistics?
See, we saw a sharp decline in the operating activities or operating cash flow just because of the trade receivables, which has increased. That is the major contribution towards the negative cash flow, operating cash flow that you see. And as well as depreciation. Depreciation has almost doubled from what we had in the last year because of asset acquisition. And these two are the major I would say, key driving forces behind the negative operational cash flow that you see at the moment. And going forward, working capital requirements are well managed. I don't think there is anything which I can say right now here, but I think it's also all taken care of.
Okay, great. So the second question just wanted to know is that what is the expected order inflow visibility and how they will be contributing to the revenue generation? As of you mentioned before, also your highest sectors are defense, transformer and hydro projects. So in how they will be contributing in FY26? So any and how we will be executing towards that project, sir?
See, talking about revenue projections and how what we already have in orders in hand. So contracts, we already have approximately 150 to 170 crores in pipeline or in signing. This is the rough number that I can give you out right now for contracted logistics. For project logistics, like I mentioned in order about what these sectors will contribute, so you can just, you know, split them equally for the remaining part and do the math that transformer will contribute the most, then the defense, and then after that hydro, and then in the last for this financial year will be oil and gas. But going forward in the next financial year, oil and gas will be probably number one or number two.
Okay. So one more thing, the capex what we had in FY25 or 17 plus CR. So as of the company is into the asset light model, so this 17 CR will be somewhere we will be utilizing for the assets also that we are acquiring.
Ma'am, we are in a asset right model right now. So we are buying only those assets which are required for customers to have trust on us and which are eligibility requirements for bidding in projects and competing in projects and falling into those particular criterias. So you cannot go to a war without any ammunition. So these are some ammunition that we've purchased just so that we can, you know, just have the opportunity to bid for these projects. So going forward also, we will be buying and procuring only specialized assets, only and only specialized assets which are not available in the market very easily. And we will keep on doing capex whenever the requirement comes through.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Mehta from Mehta Properties. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, hi, Vishalji. You are audible.
Yeah. So, sir, I have a few questions. Firstly, congratulations on delivering a strong set number. Sir, we currently have 28 branches. Are there any plan to expand further? And it would be in which state, if I may know? And expanding branch network could significantly enhance the company's visibility. And also, could you share a ballpark number of how many ODCs order we have executed this year? Additionally, what is the maximum number of ODC orders we can handle with our current asset capacity?
See, first of all, I don't know if I can say this, but I'll still say it, that we have more than 45 branches, but due to some restrictions, we had published 28, 29, whatever number that you see on the PPT, because we did not have some Shop and Establishment Act certificate or something of that sort. So we could not give that number out, but we are operating 45 plus branches all over India. Going forward, we will expand if the need arises, because these branches only serve the purpose for, they are just loading points and having runners in them where, for example, if I have to move a Delhi to Bombay shipment, so the Delhi office will go to the loading point and manage all the loading protocols and checklists and ensure the cargo is loaded safely for the onwards journey. So this is the purpose of branch network, and we are already having 45 plus branches. So whenever need arises, we will do that. There's no particular state where we are focusing on currently. Talking about how many ODC shipments we've done in the past, so I've given you a revenue mix. So that revenue mix will tell you how many ODC and how many project logistics we've done in the past. And going forward, see, whatever assets we have purchased, you cannot do more than some certain level of turnover from them. Because, you know, they are hardly any assets. Just, it's a 7 pullers and 74 axles and nothing. So because once you start engaging into bigger projects, of say oil and gas or transformer transportation, you need at least 500, 600 axles on a daily basis on the road. So how do you do that? You acquire, I mean, you take on rent from service providers. So there's no capacity restrained in that front. I would say the sky is the limit in terms of that. If a transformer manufacturer is manufacturing, I would say 10 transformers or 15 transformers in a month, I have the capacity of lifting those 10-15 transformers each month from them. And just to give you a number, right now we have more than 20 plus transformer manufacturers on our systems where we are working for, and out of those 20, at least we are top preferred suppliers for 10 of them, and those 10 are right now leading the sector and leading the manufacturing, and you know, you can just imagine what sort of volumes may come from them.
Okay, got it. And actually, one more question. I just wanted to ask about the rental fleet business. Do we have any update on that?
We closed that.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Hi, Nandanji.
Hello. Can I audit? Hi.
Mr.
I'm Nitin.
I would request you to please use your handset.
Yeah, I'm using my handset. Okay.
Yes, now you're audible.
So, can I ask a question? Excellent. Okay, so sir, I had a question that you said you're targeting about 70-75% revenue from project logistics. So, if you do that, let's say, hypothetically, if you're able to do that, what would be the EBITDA margin from this?
See, the biggest word right now here is hypothetically. I would like to mark that out.
Yeah.
Because it's a very hypothetical situation, let me do it. Because if everything you know is supportive and from the macroeconomics front and everything falls just you know in the right places. So EBITDA margins you can expect, like I've always mentioned, that project and ODC have 12 plus upwards of margin. So there's no limit to this. You can in one project maybe you can earn 50% also, 40% also, somewhere you will earn 12% also. So 12% plus is what we've generally seen in project and ODC logistics. So if we are doing, I would say in a hypothetical environment, 75% of these service types. So then there's no number that I can give out right now.
Okay, but that is the eventual target. That's what we're aiming for. Is that correct?
Very true.
I mean, the majority of the... Okay, excellent. And just a couple of months ago, we did a call any updates regarding any big orders I think we were waiting for. So any updates on that?
Yes, I think we shall share the same shortly. Probably later this month or starting of the month, we will give an update on the exchange.
Okay. And that would be a project logistics order.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Samriddhi Rela, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes,
I have some good recording.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Also, Samin, congrats on the good set of numbers, firstly. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, given that you have given a revenue growth of 30%, so is it fair to assume that we will be closing FY26 with about around 375-380 crores top line?
You're trying to put words in my mouth by you know accepting this or something. I will not say that we will be doing 370, we will be doing any amount. We have been very clear with our guidances that 30-35% CAGR growth we will be doing on a year-on-year basis, I mean for 3-year basis. So we would like to stick to that, and we would let you do the math on the numbers of the top line and how the top line would look like.
All right, no problem. Also, just wanted to understand the PAT margin for FY26. If you could, considering the increase in project logistics and ODC, and there's going to be a decline in contract and general logistics. So just wanted to understand how the PAT margin would look like for FY26.
See, if we do the ideal mix, which is 75-25, then the PAT margins can be something that we've never seen before and something that would be very exciting. But like I said, 12 plus EBITDA margin is what we generally see in ODC and project logistics. So you can, it's very hard for us to also, you know, imagine and calculate that what exact EBITDA margins and what exact margin we be looking at, because we've never had that revenue mix in the past. So it will be very hard for me to give you a number out, but you can keep the hopes high, like 12% plus, and we'll keep going down at the PAT levels and you'll get a good number.
Understood, understood. Makes sense. So since we are already like a couple of months in H1, so just wanted to know, is H1 FY26 same as well as H1 FY25, or is it better?
It's better.
Okay. So can you like tell a little bit more about as to what's happening on ground currently? We already
There's been a spillover. There's been a spillover of, I would say, close to 10-12 crores of revenue from the last year, which, I mean, just to give you an example. So what happens is, and why I'll take this opportunity to explain why our result is very late. So my personal plan and my targets were that I would want to give the result in, say, the 30th April or the last week of April. But what happens is, it's a very difficult calculation that we have to do at all times of closing, that whatever vehicles have reached unloading and has been unloaded will only be counted in the revenue of that particular financial year. So in that case, there has been multiple spillovers which has happened, and we will see in the financial year 2026 of H1. And these are some big projects also that have gone in this next financial year. So if you ask me what my turnover was and what my top line was, if I had to count how many numbers and like number of vehicles have placed and what all cargoes have moved in that financial year, it is easily 300+ crores plus. But because of the spillover and because they were not unloaded on 31st March or before 31st March, I had to move it in the next financial year. So keeping that in mind, I think, if the H1 of next financial year, and plus all the ongoing transformer movements that we are doing currently, and the demand we see from these large providers and the defense spend that we see, I don't think it will be that bad.
Understood. I believe you have already in some of the previous con call also, you have given this explanation about how this selling process.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Exactly.
So, thanks. Just also wanted to thank you for giving us quarterly updates. Thank you for, you know, taking our request. So that's it.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks. All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Satish, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening, Samin. So my question is regarding the subsidiary what we have, the PRS Supply Chain Solutions. So are we doing any business in this financial year on the subsidiary?
Yes. Hi, good evening. So actually, I'll give you an update about the subsidiary that we acquired, PRS Supply Chain Solutions. So last year we saw, I mean, a lot of competition in that front because of the tariffs and because of the global economics and how the environment looked like. So existing big players were also struggling on that front. So it was very hard for a new player like us in that field of project forwarding and freight forwarding to, I would say, have a good hold and have a good understanding of the field. And there has been some, I would say, lacking from the market side to support PRS Supply Chain. So going forward, we are actively looking for joint ventures. We are actively looking for, I would say, collaborations. And if these movements and these sectors do well, transformers are right now also exporting to the foreign markets. Defense, I'm not too sure, and I would not like to comment if they'll be exported or not. And all these sectors, once, you know, we start getting some good traction, we will put our focus on PRS Supply Chain and maybe do some joint venture or collaboration with some foreign organizations or foreign bodies and take that forward as well.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Kanishk Shah from PRC Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Recently, we've seen videos of ODC movements. Can you please explain me the entire process, like, from how an order is received or to how a team plans the movement?
Yes, 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 absolutely. This is the most interesting part, me explaining our job. So what happens is, once we just to give you an example of the transformer movement that you see. The transformer movement that you see is from Airoli. So if you can figure out which transformer manufacturer has a plant in Airoli. So we had taken that order from Airoli, Bombay, to Guharganj, Madhya Pradesh. So first, what happens is, before the movement is finalized, we have to do a route survey. So what happens in a route survey, an escort car starts from Airoli to Guharganj. They will first visit the entire stretch by a four-wheeler. They will examine the route. They will understand what all challenges are there. So typical challenges are, first thing is, in such point load cargo. This is called a point load cargo. Why is it a point load? Because the length is very less. A transformer has very length less length, and but the weight is high, so it's a point load. So in point load, what happens is we have to take into the consideration the weight of the entire movement. So 250 tons is the cargo weight, plus I would say 150 tons of the empty trailer. My empty trailer also has a weight. So we have to calculate that, and it comes to 400 tons. So just imagine, to move 400 tons, what sort of road you would require. You can't just go on any bridge. You can't just go on any road. That will just, you know, make sure, I mean, it will just destroy the entire road. So these sort of analysis has to be happened before the movement starts in a route survey. Some major problems such as are also there that, you know, if the height is more, so a transformer is approximately 15 to 16 feet height, plus the empty trailer height is approximately 19 feet, I mean, total from the ground level. So there are multiple welcome boards. There are multiple obstructions of the wires. So we have to take a shutdown of that. We have to remove the welcome boards. We have to remove speed cameras. So these all analysis goes in the route survey. After that is done, the cargo is loaded. Once the cargo is loaded, a lot of, you know, safety compliances and everything goes to load the cargo. A lot of checks goes through, a lot of lashing goes through. Then the cargo starts moving on the ground. Our operations team is in front of the gypsy. The aage gypsy hoti hai, there's a gypsy, and then the car is, the trucks are at the back. They keep on moving, and then they reach the destination. And in between, whatever obstacles are found in the route survey, they are cleared, and then you clear the obstacle and you move the obstacle and then you deliver. At the last mile, at the delivery, there is always a challenge. So there is some village problem, some local issues. So you have to liaise for that. And that is where the money lies. Because, you know, once you are going and solving a complex problem, that is where the customer will pay you. So that is what we also do in the last mile. And also after everything is done, we unload the cargo. So we have to unload 250 tons by jacks, by hydraulics, by pulling mechanisms. So this is the complete scope of work we do for transformers. And you can multiply this entire thing into, I would say, an intensity of 10 if barging and if oil and gas projects are involved. So once oil and gas movements and some big movements start moving, you can just multiply whatever I said by 10 and imagine the sort of work which goes behind.
Okay. And who is responsible for obtaining all the necessary permissions, and how big is the operations team?
There is an entire team. So that is where you see the employee benefit costs that have gone up. Nobody has asked me the question, but I'll just answer it myself. So you see the employee cost has gone up in the balance sheet. So that's the exact reason why. So the team, we have hired the best and best class team available in the market from many organizations where they have taken trainings from. And that's the reason we're able to do these movements very professionally and safely.
Okay. And, you know, I would also like to understand how much revenue the company is expecting from the ODC and project logistics.
Like I mentioned earlier also in the answer that I gave, hypothetically and optimistically, 75% of the total revenue. So that is what we are focusing on this year. But let's see where the macroeconomics and environment.
And what kind of margins are we looking at in this business?
Already answered, 12% plus.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Virendra Gupta for closing comments.
Yes, Saman just said, I'll only give the closing remarks. So thank you all for being a part of our conference call and for actively participating in the call. We appreciate your support and trust in us. We hope you've been able to address most of your queries. In case of further queries, you may reach out to our investor relation advisor, Stellar IR. Thank you all and have a great day.
Thank you. On behalf of Premier Roadline Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.